And now the quick pass down the middle, breaking in and the backhand stopped by Chris Mason. And Marlowe with a 2-on-1, a 3-on-1, and what a stop by Mason. Chichu right in front, and what a stop on Ekblom by Mason.
And goal! Number 3, Chris Mason!
That open gets me fired up every single time. Chris Mason joins us now. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game. Chris Mason brought to you by Coleman Tractor and Tennessee's largest Kubota dealer. See, Mace, it's always great to talk with you. And look, if you would have asked me about John Hines' job security maybe a month and a half ago, I would have said, get him out. Once they hired Barry Trotz, I would have said, oh, he's gone. Barry Trotz wants to bring in his guy. But since the trade deadline, I have to give John Hines so much credit for keeping this team alive and keeping this team in the fight. Looking at Barry Trotz's point of view, he has a difficult decision facing him on the future of this team with the roster and as far as the head coach is concerned. What do you think Barry Trotz is looking at, what his perspective is in terms of the future of the head coaching position and what John Hines has done in the last month, month and a half since the trade deadline?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And I mean, when you have a team like the Preds did at the beginning of the year, when they have, you know, pretty much the same team as they did last season, and you have a bunch of guys underperform, I think it's just natural. Everybody wants to point the finger. Oh, it's the coach. Get him out of here. They need a new voice. And in my opinion, it was a lot of the guys, the higher paid players that weren't performing at the level that they should be performing or that they did last year. And you're talking about a team that had 9 guys, I think, on it that had career years. And, even if they weren't going to repeat and have career years, if they were close to that production or, you know, in the middle of, you know, their previous years and things like that, but it wasn't going that way. And I feel, the power play was the same thing. They executed the same power play and this and that. They had all the same personnel, kept the lines the same, and there just wasn't that production. So everybody wants to get rid of Hines. And I get that. That's sports. Sometimes that is the case. In this situation, I don't think it was. My opinion was the top guys weren't getting it done at the beginning of the year, and they weren't scoring goals. And when you're not scoring goals, it's the guys that score goals. That's what they get paid to do. So now, you know, you have a situation where this team has no business being in this race. Absolutely none. Half the team is the Milwaukee Admirals. And these young guys that we've been talking about, and, you know, we've been wanting to see the future of the organization, because at the deadline, that's the direction they went. And they have all these young guys, and I think Hines and the whole coaching staff have done a phenomenal job with this team, because when young players come up to the NHL, they have offensive skill and they can compete, you know, at that level with other players in the league. The hardest thing is getting the opportunities and getting the chances, and you get those chances by playing defense, and you have to buy into a certain way to play at this level. Because if you try to run and gun with teams in the Predators situation right now, look at their decor, look at their top 6 forwards have less than 500 games in the NHL combined. So it's crazy. So he has these guys like with complete buy-in. They're going out there, and yeah, they're going to make mistakes. They're young, but they're hungry, and they are working their butts off. And a lot of credit has to be given to Hines and the coaching staff. There's no question. So, and he's in right from the beginning. He invited Barry Trotz in. Hey, come sit in all the meetings. Come be a part of this. I believe in what we're doing here. I believe in our staff, and I want you to see exactly what we're doing. So, I think if this was, a position to earn your job back or keep your job or whatever you want to call it, I think he's definitely done that.
Now, see, Mace, I think that might have been probably the best thing that John Hines could have done, considering what was going on, is to welcome Barry Trotz into those meeting rooms, sit with them. So if there's something that he may see that we need to do better, he can point it out and I can correct it and we can get this team going. So that may have been, quietly the best thing that John Hines could have done for his team and himself. And also, you said another thing, these guys coming up from Milwaukee, I think one of the reasons why it has worked, and tell me if you agree with this, is because, yes, they're coming up from Milwaukee, but these guys have played together. So now they get up, to the NHL, And it's not like they're not familiar with one another. They understand one another a little bit different than, say, you bring a guy up and then you trade for a guy that's coming from another team, or another guy that's coming from another team, and now they got to try to figure this out in such a short amount of time. But some of these guys, you know, have been playing together. So do you think that's one of the reasons why this team has been able to – they're basically playing 500 hockey. I think they're 9-9 since March 4th, since the trade deadline, which I don't think I would have thought they would even be 500, considering what they were – what they did as far as guys that they traded away and guys that they brought up.
That's a great question, and I think you're bang on, because I remember getting called up as a young player, and you go up and, you know, you're alone and you're kind of meeting all the NHL guys. It's intimidating, and you take kind of a back seat, you know, you're just happy to be there kind of thing. But, you know, the situation right now with these guys, they've all played together, so they have a bunch of their teammates that they've had success in Milwaukee. They see their buddy that's playing in Nashville having success. They come up, you know, you have that instant belief, because as a young player, I was like, oh, can I play it? Then can I play at this level? Can I, you know, do the same things I was doing in the American League? And, you know, but also not only that, but the familiarity with the guys and the camaraderie and the fact that you've developed chemistry, you know, in the locker room and on the ice with these guys, it definitely helps a young player to come up with some of his teammates and guys that he knows. You know, just for your mind and just not the intimidation factor, but also seeing your teammates that you played with, that you've had success with, have success at the NHL, because then it tells me, or a player getting called up, you're like, hey, you know, look at him. He's doing it up there. I can go up there and do the same thing. So I think you're seeing that, and it's probably, I think, exponentially, you know, maybe help these guys in their development, and the fact that they're all getting they're not coming up and playing third and fourth line minutes. They're getting thrown right in the fire. They're top six. They're, you know, top four defensemen. They're getting all this ice time. They're on the penalty kill. You know, when if, you know, this whole lineup's healthy, these guys aren't getting a sniff like that. But now it's a completely different story. But I definitely think that has a lot to do with it.
Chris Mason is with us. And, Mace, we're reminiscing about 2008. Because depending on the website you look at today, you know, the Predators' chances today of making the playoffs are, you know, 8%, 4%, 9%, 11%. There's a lot of different ways to calculate it. But I remember in 2008, Barry Trotz, you guys were down 5 points with 7 games to go. And it really looked bleak, right? And you guys went on a great run late. And one of the things he clinged to was like, look, guys, I looked at this website. I think it's called Sports Club Stats, if I remember correctly, is the one. If it wasn't that, it was something similar to it. He said, I looked at it. If we just win our games, we have a good chance. That number is going to change. So don't worry about what's happening. If we just win our games, this thing could fall in line. And the important thing to take out of that is this team looks like they believe, right? It's like they're not too concerned with the odds. Just go out there and play your next game, see what happens. But do you remember that very much back in 2008, that run?
I remember, and I've been on teams even the next year when I was in St. Louis. I think we actually knocked the Preds out of playoffs. But
yes, that's true.
Neither here nor there. But we were in a very similar situation. And, you know, when you're in that on that team, it's fun. I mean, you guys, just think of the first half of the season, all the, you know, the coverage that you guys were doing, all the questions and stuff you guys probably had to feel. We're talking about get rid of the coach, get rid of this guy, Poyle's got to go, all this stuff. And just think now when you watch this team, these guys are having fun. Nobody on the planet thinks they have a chance, but they do. And that's the beauty of it. You almost you use that as extra motivation, and you don't even really care, because it's just another one. You kind of laugh at it and you just keep winning. You just keep going out there playing, and you can just tell by the body language of these guys. They don't care. They don't care who they play. They don't care if they're going into, you know, TD Gardens to play the best team in the National Hockey League. This team thinks they can beat anybody, and it's crazy. And it's not cocky or anything. It's just a young, confident group that's just going out there and they're working their butts off and they're having fun. And you can just see it on their body language when you know their interviews, the way that they play. And when you see something like that, you know, a 5% chance or this or that, or you kind of laugh it off and you just go out and play. And it's the old one game at a time. All right, who we play next? We got the Carolina Hurricanes, all right, they're trying to win the division. Let's just go play them. Let's just give them our best and see what happens. And they're using all that stuff. They'll take all that stuff, the percentages. They just go out there and they just go play with their heart and see what happens. And it's been fun to watch. You know, they're going to make mistakes. It's a young team. But I'll tell you, since this group's been together, there hasn't been one game where whether they lost or that even that game when they got blown out by the Rangers that you walk away from that game saying that they didn't work as hard as they can. So all the odds are still going to be really tough. You probably have to win all of your games, and you definitely have to beat Winnipeg and Calgary. But I'll tell you what, this group thinks they can do it. So it's Carolina up next. Tomorrow's going to be tough.
Yep, and Calgary at Winnipeg tonight. That's one to absolutely keep your eye on. If that will get that percentage up a little bit. According to Sports Club stats, the win last night and the Calgary loss, it got Nashville from 3.2% to 5.6%. So we're moving up.
moving on up.
But in all seriousness, it changes a lot. You keep winning, that number will keep rising. I'm telling you. I want to ask you one more, Mace, before we let you go real quick. The Novakian, right? The Tommy Novak thing. I find myself every night going, all right, prove it to me again, Novak. Prove it to me again. This is unbelievable. You go back to the beginning of training camp. Nobody was talking about Tommy Novak making the team. It was like, Novak will be in Milwaukee. There he is. He's skating around. Didn't make the last cut to even get to the Global Series where you could take extra players on the roster. Then he just goes down in Milwaukee, starts scoring. He's leading the team in points. He comes up in December. The NHL didn't stop the presses and say, hey, they're bringing up Tommy Novak. Watch out. They're bringing him up. Nobody was like, oh, okay, Novak's coming up. Okay, all right. He'll help, fourth line, whatever. And here he is. So I'm still, Mace, amazed every night because he just keeps doing it. Keeps doing it. I wonder, David Poile and Barry Trotz, when they're watching, they have to be having kind of that same thing. Good grief, he just did it again.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's one of the best stories of the season. And I think I started calling him the Novakian nightmare because he's terrorizing everybody that he plays against. If he falls asleep for a second, he's going to get you, I'll tell you. But it's unreal because I just was crunching the numbers today, actually, because we were following this a couple games ago. He is leading the team in points per game. He has more points per game than Roman Josi, Philip Forsberg, Matt Duchene, go all the way down the list. Than anybody, and he's played a big enough sample size. I think it's 47 games now. It's not like it's 10 games or like, oh, I had a couple of big games in there. This is 47 games. Now, this, he signed for one more year. They re-signed him for 1 year next year. I bet they're wishing they did the old long get him low for multiple years. But he's been phenomenal, and he does. He keeps getting better, and he looks confident. He looks, you know, certain parts of his game when he first started playing, I didn't think that he had. Did he have that physicality? Did he look like he could go out there and, you know, be intense against the, you know, a top line, or was he going to be a shooter? He was always a pass first type of a player, but his game has just grown so much, and he's becoming this, you know, top two centerman, not power forward, but he'll get in there and he'll shoot the puck, and it's been unbelievable what he's been able to do. He can run a power play on the half wall. He's got a head up, and I'm the same as you, Willie. I mean, I remember when he started having success, we asked Hines about it, and he's like, hey, well, can he keep doing it? Can he get better in the faceoff circle? How long can he be consistent for? And I think you've seen a big enough sample size. It's going to be tough next year because he's not going to sneak up on anybody. So there could be some regression in his, you know, point per game total, but I think he's the real deal, and it's what a ride. And you don't get to see this. Had you not had the injuries, had you not traded away all those guys, you probably don't have Tommy Novak in that role having the success that he is. So a lot of blessings, I guess, in disguise for this season.
Chris Mason, thank you for your time. Always appreciate the conversation. We'll chat with you soon.
Okay, thank you, guys. Take care.
Awesome. Thank you, C-Mace. Hey, the Preds have a game tomorrow night, and it is your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. So if you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game tomorrow night, you will win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Participate in Pick to Click tomorrow morning at 8:45 a.m. with Robbie and Rex Road. And speaking of tickets, let's give away a little bit more. Be caller 3 right now before you can even buy them to see Kiss at Bridgestone Arena on October 23rd. Good luck with that. It's Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.